We love following the news. Yes, good news. Of course, no fake news, only real news. Here's a quote. The earth is degenerating. Bribery and corrupt speech and deeds abound. The end of the world is fast approaching. You have any friends that say that? They get so disturbed by the corrupt speech and the bad language and just the awful stories that they didn't know the end of the world is coming. Well, we've heard things like this. You don't need to be on Facebook too long to hear what some call hate speech or even just annoying speech, mean speech, words that condemn and don't build up. Well, that quote that I had just read is from an Assyrian tablet in the year 2800 BC. Corrupt speech and deeds. You know, we know from science that feelings of contempt and feelings of disgust actually affect our physiology. It gets our medulla muscle up here in our brain, our frontal cortex, it gets it moving so that our white and white blood cells are actually affected when we experience contempt. And so cortisone and, let me see, where's that one quote? Don't have it right here? Oh yeah, here it is. The immune system is compromised with cortisone and adrenaline being secreted. Quote, white blood cells are compromised so that expressing contempt damages our health. Imagine that. Now you'd figure if you were ever, and perhaps you have been, the focus of someone who feels contempt towards you or disgust or someone treats you like that. Just know that as painful as that may be to us, just know that it's affecting the health of the person who's contemptuous. It's the person who actually withholds forgiveness from someone, thinking that that's, oh, they'll get there. I'm not going to forgive them. No way they're going to get out of that. Well, actually, that kind of a feeling actually affects the health of the person who withholds the forgiveness. It affects us negatively. Now, we would hope that we'd all just want to live like Jesus. You know, loving people, forgiving people, being kind to people. But actually, doing that, actually, in the real world, is kind of hard. It's difficult. And so this is where science comes in. So not only did Jesus say, don't treat people with contempt, but your doctor says, don't treat people with contempt. And so between our spiritual side and our physical side, it all comes together so that we can live a life, as Jesus said, a life of abundance. You don't have a life of abundance if you have feelings of jealousy and rage, contempt and disgust that operate within us. And these kinds of things can occur just all the time. You know, I grew up with sayings, truisms, you know, like sticks and stones can break my bones. What's the rest of that? Was that true? My mom taught me that. My mother taught me that. In fact, I remember having a little rock fight, you know, hitting army men in the backyard or something with my good friend Mark, and I overthrew. You've not seen me play ball, but anyway, if you did, he would have been forewarned. Anyway, it hit him. And he was he called me more names than I mean, I was like in the fifth grade. You know, I have no idea what he's talking about. He's a little older than me. But I went home, and I was almost in near tears. My best friend hates me. Because I hit him with a rock. I mean, come on. It was an accident. But he just said a lot of mean things. And my mom said to me, Kevin, don't worry, because sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. You're right, Mom. All right, thanks, Coach. I'm ready to face the world now. And you know what? I probably got through that afternoon on those words. We call them truisms, phrases like that, because they only sound true. They're not really true. They're not actually true. They're just those sort of things that are meant to sort of gloss over the moment. There's lots of things in our life. You know, if you really love something, let it go. It'll come back to you. All right, try that with a bird. Has that ever happened before? No, absolutely not. How about this? A penny saved is a penny earned. No. A penny saved is a penny. And you don't have anything more than that. So, I don't know, earning a penny, that's great. And so these kind of truisms in the big picture, you know, they sort of are affirming an observation about life that that isn't untrue in that sticks and stones definitely affect my body physically. But what it does is, and part of the saying is true, see, that's why it's a truism. But the back end of that, words will never hurt me. That's totally false. You ever called bad names in school? Huh? Anybody ever know a fifth grader? Oh my goodness. You know, it gets worse in high school, it gets more subtle. And you know, of course, we experience painful things in our life that cause us great pain, and it might have only been a word that was heard that devastates us. Or it might have been the word that's missing that devastates us. That's why so often we say things like, read between the lines. Try to pay attention to what the other person is saying. It's why audio is a lot more, listening to someone, like in voice, visual, of course, too, but in speaking just of speech, audio is so much more compelling than text alone. You see, in text, I can say, I care about you, but when you hear the voice of someone say, I care about you, it means so much more. And why things like Twitter and Facebook are so damaging in our national conversation today. You know, Twitter, even its name, is just sort of an amusement of a term. But a tweet, it means it's insignificant. It's just a tweet. Birds sing choruses in your backyard. They are just not a tweet. If you heard a bird tweet, you'd probably ignore it. Oh, look, I got a tweet. Oh, look, another tweet from the Cardinal. How lovely. Oh, look, there's a tweet. I got another one. There's from the Blue Jay. How sweet. No, you love it like when actually birds thoughtfully get together and share their ideas. You like it when the birds in the early morning are hanging out there by the water pond that you forgot to fill, by the way. And so the birds are there just cackling away, singing away, just making music in the air. Because a tweet, a text message conveys information in a moment. It's a snapshot. It's useful. Definitely useful. But it can't be a substitute for conversation. So when a tweet or a Facebook remark or even a person in political office or even the teacher or a person, a neighbor or a friend makes some comment in a tweet, it possibly is conveying something true and factual. But the thing it's not conveying is the voice of the person saying it. And certainly not the image. Which is why in our culture, you know, Twitter and Facebook have embraced over the last 5 or 6 years the idea of sending video and pictures. So apps like Instagram are becoming more popular because people have found that there's a limitation in text messaging. It's useful. It can convey some information quickly. God knew this. Did God just send Earth a text message? That would be the Bible. All right, so God sent us this big, long text. I guess he didn't get the message 320 words or less, or characters or less. And so God sends this huge text message to planet Earth, but did God stay there just with a text message? God could have said, you read the text, get with it. Or another truism I remember learning in Sunday school. You know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, I get the sentiment of that, totally embrace the idea of that, but that doesn't settle anything because it's dependent on what you think God said. You know, there are a lot of people out there tweeting right this very minute that God hates some people and not others. That there are some people out there that hate Republicans. Did you know that? Did you know that some people hate Democrats? Did you know that? This is news, just in. There are people with vitriolic, dangerous, just awful kinds of speech leveled against one another as if it was they're living their life by, well, I said it, I believe it, that settles it. We live in a bubble of information. We surround ourselves by people who think exactly like us, which, if you're a bird in a nest, is very comforting. But if you're out in the wild and you want to make friends with the raven, you got to leave the nest. And you've got to understand the raven. You have to figure out how come ducks don't fly if you were an eagle. The eagle needs to come up to the duck and say, I was told I got to walk in your shoes. I don't know how to walk in web feet. Well, the eagle ought to pay attention. The eagle ought to figure out that those web feet help the duck navigate in water. You know, you've seen eagle pictures, you know, swooping down, grabbing the fish. Have you ever seen an eagle float on water? No. You may have seen a drowned eagle float on water, but you'll never find a drowning duck. Because God made them different, you see. So if the world were all eagles, sure, we'd soar a lot, but we wouldn't be getting much fun in the water. And so in life, you know, whatever our aspirations, whatever our feelings, whatever summations we can make about our life as a textual statement, I believe this, I think this, I think they're a bunch of idiots, I think they're really smart, I think they're beautiful, I want to lead my life like them, I don't want to lead my life like others. All these things, we all have our own personal point of view. But contempt and disgust have no place in the life of someone who follows Jesus. Contempt and disgust are what Paul was writing the church in Ephesus, saying, knock off the corny language. Knock off the language that cuts people down. Knock off the stories that aren't true. Knock off the things that dissuade people from their path. Just stop it. See, we need to replace contempt with walking in other people's shoes. To take a moment just to consider. Now, it could be possible that the person that you feel some contempt for, contempt, by the way, is very different than anger. The Apostle Paul says, you know, do not anger, or do not sin in being angry. Anger is a warm emotion. Anger, you can even depict it like on a little emoticon or emoji, you know, it's usually red. And that's because there's a lot of emotional connection between the person feeling the emotion and the person receiving it. So it's appropriate for you to get angry at a friend who did something that displeased you or hurt you or offended you in some way. Likely it was unintentional. But for whatever reason it was, you're angry. You feel angry against people you care about. Anger is appropriate. Inappropriate anger is never appropriate. But appropriate anger is appropriate. That's why Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not cross the line. Express your anger. I don't know whether any of you have Spanish relatives or Italian relatives that go back a few centuries, but you tell them they're not supposed to get angry and see how far you get. It just doesn't happen. Now, my family's from Switzerland. We're very peace-loving, very calm people. And so we seethe in our anger. You know, we just don't express it very, very clearly. But anger is not the issue, you see, because anger is a hot emotion. It's appropriate with people that care about each other, issues that are cared about. Maybe anger is appropriate at times to share. Passion and anger, very close. But contempt, if you were going to put contempt on a color chart, it would be blue, ice cold. Contempt says, you're not even worth talking about. Your opinion not only doesn't matter, you don't matter. I don't want anything to do with you or anyone that looks like you or thinks like you or speaks like you. You see, disgust and contempt on the range of color is icy cold. Can you imagine Jesus being contemptuous? No. Can you imagine Jesus being angry? Well, yeah. See, there's a huge difference in our national conversation today. We have substituted understanding and walking in each other's shoes for conversation that is filled with contempt and feelings of contempt and disgust. Someone showed me a letter recently they were sending off to a congressperson, maybe a senator perhaps, and they were saying how they had to get rid of all the opposing side. They had a label for that. I can't remember what the issue was, but just a position. And you get rid of all those people in your committee, the letter said. Just get rid of them. And the person just lived and breathed, just seething, that they better do something about this. See, that wasn't anger. That was contempt. That was thinking that the opposing side had no business even having a side. And that's the difference. Sticks and stones may break our bones, and words will devastate us. God spoke word, and all of creation came into being. Jesus spoke a word and turned that awful water into wine. Everyone has a story. And if we stop long enough, even those with whom we disagree, we can learn from. You know, we don't learn from information and people that you already know or information you already know. All you do is just repeat the information. Now, that could have a reinforcing quality, but you're not learning anything new. Now, your habits might go deeper, and it may be perfectly good on that level, but you're not learning anything. The only way we learn is if you do something out of the ordinary. You get out of your bubble, your news bubble, your neighbor bubble, your religious bubble. Your Bible reading schedule can become a bubble. That's why we read from the lectionary every week here at Cold Spring Church. Now, otherwise, we might just say, you know, I really love the Gospel of John. I'm never leaving. It's good to spend. And I do know, I have had pastors, I've even done it occasionally in the past, you'll just spend like 3 years on the Gospel of John. All right, that's perfectly fine. But there's a lot more to the Bible than the Gospel of John. So it's good, but not gooder. It's good, but not great. And so we need to surround ourselves that the answer to contempt is respect. And to gain in respect is when someone else with an opposing view, someone else with a different point of view entirely, and again, arguably, they might be contemptuous. Like you might feel, like, gosh, just so angry. That David shouldn't even be on the planet saying those words. It's just so awful. Even if it's to that point, we need to think about what would it be to be in their shoes? What are the life experiences that bring a person to that radical of a position? Have you ever thought for a minute, you know, what a person who does an awful crime or a terrorist act, what must they be thinking? Don't excuse the behavior. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what is it? Do we have the capacity to understand what drives people to have the beliefs that they do? Do we even know what drives us in the beliefs that we have? The most promising opportunity that the church has today, United States and around the world, is how we show respect for every single person. And how we have different points of view. You know, for the 70 people here today, maybe more, for everyone, I bet each of us could find something we disagree with. What do you think? Peanut butter, you read to the edge of the bread or just in the middle? What do you mean? Is that what you do? I knew that, Nick. And so we have different points of view about who we voted for. We have different points of view about what decisions need to be made in Lower Township. We have different points of view about all sorts of music. We have different points of view about what your favorite dinner is, what your favorite church event is, well, what your favorite cemetery burial situation is going to be. We all have a different point of view about everything, but if we only would take a moment to understand the stories behind the opinions, the person behind the tweet, the person on the other end of that Facebook page, if we would not simply get all riled up and almost say to ourselves, I wish that person wasn't even here, then the world would be so much better. And we begin to understand one another better. So I have four tips. I learned these from a psychologist, John Gottman, sort of applied in this broader context of Jesus. You know, he said that he was the bread of life. You know, not everybody believed that. A lot of people were simply arguing, saying, I just want some more food, thank you. Just keep it simple. And others said, how could you be the bread of life? I mean, there's no such thing. Well, Jesus was the bread of life. In fact, in this passage today, he says he's the bread of life for the world. That went right over their heads. You know, our Old Testament ancestors, they were given the charge that through you, every nation on the world would be blessed. They just didn't have the ears to hear that. They just kept all the blessings in. We would do the same. The Pharisees did the same. Jesus and his death on the cross, he was reminding all of us that he's here for the world, that every person is valued, even the thieves next to him on the cross. And so his love and compassion and empathy is for Jesus is amazing because he's walked in our shoes. So here are four tips. When you have a conversation with someone, think about their life experience and empathize with them. Doesn't have to take long. You can't do it for everyone. But this week, practice. Conversation, oh boy, they're stupid. Boy, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Well, maybe. I think that sometimes. Well, how about a test case? I wonder what it's like to lead their life. I wonder why they think that. I wonder if we had a conversation together or someone else that holds that particular view, I wonder what I might learn about my own views. And not to convert them, but to live their life just for a moment to understand them. Focus on other people's distress with a spirit of empathy. That's what Jesus did for us. And how about this? Make an effort for every negative comment you make, cutting, sarcastic comment. We all do it from time to time, and it's hard to avoid it, to read it even, of others. Make 5 positive comments for every 1 critical one. So this goes for tweets too. So when you're tweeting, for every 5 or 6 comments, if you want total, make sure only 1 of them is critical. It could be instructive, but critical, and the other one's positive, 5-1. Avoid contempt with everybody all the time. It's point 3. There's no excuse for being contemptuous. There's no reason possible that somebody could be worthless to you. Everybody has value, and if you just agree in your head, maybe your spirit will take a minute to kind of reconcile, but if you'd walk out of here saying, everybody I meet today has value and worth in the eyes of God and in my eyes, I just wonder how mad you get at the checkout guy. I wonder how a conversation where you've withheld forgiveness, I wonder how much longer you'll withhold forgiveness. I know it's hard to forgive, but I wonder how much longer you'll hold on to that, knowing that it affects you physically. Contempt is even worse. It eats up those white blood cells. In fact, Paul says about communion instruction that before you go to the Lord's table, make sure you know that there's nothing you're holding against anybody else. Because, he says, some have eaten their own, if you will, their own damnation. They've effectively, because they've withheld this, they've affected themselves just from withholding something from someone, like forgiveness. So avoid contempt with everybody all the time, no exceptions. Even if their views are possibly contemptible, it's bad for you and it's bad for them. Don't do it. And lastly, cooperate with those with whom you disagree. You know, the fastest way to show that you truly understand something is to be willing to hear an opposing view. You know, okay, so you make the finest pork roast. Okay, you don't need to convince your mother-in-law that actually yours is better. You just don't need to do that. Or there's a way to have a conversation. Could you tell me, like, why you think yours is so much better? I just really just like to know. And you don't do it just to sort of rebut them later. Oh, I'm going to get ammunition. Oh, I can't wait to hear that story. I'll get them next. No, you do it to learn. In fact, you might even say your cooking wouldn't even be as good as it is if you didn't argue, have a few arguments in your past about it. You learned from other people. So apply it to your spiritual life too. Apply it to your political conversation. Apply it to your social interaction. Cooperate with those with whom you disagree. Before you speak, try to understand what the other person is actually saying. Paul told the Romans, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Martin Luther King Jr. said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and darkness shall not overcome it. Contempt cannot drive out contempt. Only empathy can do that. So this week, let's all take a look at our feet. And let's see if we can walk in the shoes of another and learn and grow. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you've promised to love us just the way we are. We don't need to change. We don't need to think differently. We don't need to act differently in this moment. You receive us just the way we are. Thank you that you love us unconditionally. Consider for a moment that Jesus has walked in your shoes. He understands what you've been through this week, your life, your experiences. He understands the pain that you've experienced, the disappointment. He understands when how it feels not to be forgiven. He understands what it means to not be understood. He certainly understands what it means when the majority think differently of him. What do you need Jesus to understand about you today? What is it about your walk, your shoes, knowing that Jesus is willing to walk in them? What do you want him to see today? Do you need to feel his forgiveness? He's right here. Do you need to pay attention just a little bit more to someone else with whom you disagree? Is there a neighbor, relative, friend, or stranger that needs to be extended a welcoming hand of peace and love? Lord, thank you that you remind us that even in strangers, some have entertained angels, and that blessings come from unsuspecting places, that Jesus came from a town like Nazareth, our Savior came from a cross and a tomb, and you have promised to walk in our shoes that we might walk in others' shoes to share the good news journey. In Jesus' name, amen.